Let the church say amen. Amen. God has blessed us once again. God is good to us. Not some of the time, but as someone just said, all of the time. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to be happy and joyful in it. God is good. This morning, we want to take a moment out and just make a couple of announcements up front. We want to announce that this week coming up will contain the last Bible class for the season. So if you haven't gotten out here all season long for the Bible class, you might want to come out to enjoy the last session for the year, until spring, I should say. We also want to remind everyone in your bulletin, there's a little write-up about the pantry. The pantry is still going on. And if you know anyone in these difficult times that are in need of any kind of non-perishable food, please let myself know or let one of the brothers in the congregation know, and it will be routed so that we can get that person or persons whatever they need to survive, to help them to get through these difficult times. And this morning our scripture is taken from the 8th chapter of the book of John, in verses 44 and verse number 45. And we will revisit those texts in a few moments, but let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O Lord, O gracious and wonderful Father in heaven, we have been blessed once again. We have been given an opportunity to be able to come out to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that You have allowed us this blessing. You have awakened us this morning from our sleep and our slumbering. You have given us food for our stomachs, a roof over our heads, and we thank You for a beautiful day, O Lord, because this day is unlike any day that we've ever seen before. We thank You for just bringing us to the brink of this day and letting us be a part of it. We pray this morning, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We pray for the brethren who have taken part in these services thus far, and their families as well. We pray this morning, Father, for each and every member and for their families also. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for so much, and you give us so much, and we sometimes offer so little. But nevertheless, we thank You, O Heavenly Father. We pray for those who are standing in the battlefields all over the world, but especially, O Heavenly Father, we also pray for those who are no longer in the battlefield or on the battlefield, but have been a part of the armed forces of this country and of the world. We pray and ask You, O Heavenly Father, to be with each and every one of those right now, O Lord. Father, we pray for the sick and the shut-in. We thank You for those who are well enough to be with us today, but we pray for those who are not. And we ask that if it be Your will, that You would give them strength, that they may be able to come to be with us at another time. Father, we pray for those who may still be on their way this morning, that You would give them safe passage. We pray for any of us, O Heavenly Father, that might be traveling today. We pray, O Lord, that if it be Your will, You give them safe passage to their destination and safety upon their return as well. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for Your Son who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross, that we may have a right to the tree of life. We thank You this morning, Father, for those who are in our political leaders, O Lord, our governmental leaders. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that they may not make any rules or regulations that would cause us to falter in our worship service toward You. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all that You do for us. And we thank You and pray for those who are raising up their children in today's society. We thank You. We pray for those who are without and those this morning who are in need. We ask You to bless them that they may be blessed enough to have all of their needs satisfied. We thank You this morning, Father, for everything that You've done for us and for everything You continue to do for us. Now be with us as we move into the next portion of these services, O Lord. Watch over and keep us, and if what we have said and what we shall do, hopefully it will be acceptable in Thy sight. These and all other blessings we do ask in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Let us all say, amen. this morning from the 8th chapter of the book of John in verses number 44 and verse number 45. The Bible says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." This morning we want to take for a subject, "I tell you the truth." The Bible is God's word of truth. Nothing God spoke in the Bible can be found to be an untruth. According to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18, it is impossible for God to lie. On the other hand, men lie. Sometimes apparently just because they have nothing else to do or nothing else to say. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone who's telling a lie and then tries to get someone else involved in that lie? You know what I'm talking about, like a man who tells a lie and then asks his wife to confirm that lie. Isn't that right, baby? You've been there before. We must always rely on God for truth and not always on man. In the text today, Jesus is speaking to the Jews of that time, telling them as his truths are given then, so are they given to us today. So let us look for a few truths of today. Now I may as well tell you, somebody might get uncomfortable with this first point I want to bring out, but I didn't do it to make you uncomfortable. The truth about drunkenness. Drunkenness causes one to be in a state of mind where they sometimes don't know who they themselves are, much less anyone else. Now, I already know that the church folk don't do that. So you know I'm not talking to you or talking about you. So it wasn't written or this wasn't put together against anyone in the congregation this morning. But then on the other hand, as I always say, if the shoe fits, you must wear it. There's nothing worse than meeting one on Sunday morning who is still smelling like Saturday night. There's nothing worse than meeting one who calls himself a brother but yet is drunk on Sunday morning. There's nothing like that smell from Saturday night. We as Christians need to be in a position of example setters to our young folk. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse is number 11, the Bible speaks, it says, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man is called brother is a fornicator, or covetous, an idolater, a rallier, or a drunken, or an extortion, which with such do not eat." With such do not eat. That means you don't socialize with that person. That doesn't mean you don't have any dealings with them, because you deal with folk on an everyday basis and you don't know what's in their past. So I tell you this morning, church, this speaks to the church folk. Oh yeah, it speaks to the church folks. If anyone who calls himself a brother, so we ask the question, are they truly Christians if they are drunk and still call themselves a brother? Truly a Christian, one of our jobs as a Christian is that of trying to teach them and get them back on the right path, that how they should be doing things. Drunkenness tends to lead to heartaches in this life. It may cause families to split. It may cause loss of jobs. It may even cause jail and even death. In Matthew chapter 24, starting at around the 45th verse, Jesus speaks of the servant who is faithful. He says, "But if that servant is evil and he begins to drink with the drunkards, the master shall come in a day when he is expected, when he is not expected, and shall cut him asunder and point him as a portion with the hypocrite. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What are you saying? I'm saying if you are a good servant, you wouldn't become an evil servant. And an evil servant should never, a good servant should never hang with the evil servants. They need to be set apart. They need to let the evil folk know that I'm not a part of this group. In 1 Corinthians 5 and 11, there, the choice is pretty clear. It's a pretty clear message. It's telling us that we are not to associate with those who are guilty of the whole laundry list of sins. I chose only one out of there this morning. That was drunkenness. Because it's a Sunday morning after a Saturday night. So I thought it would be an appropriate subject. Or an appropriate point, I should say. And I know simply we don't like to talk about this subject, yet somewhere in some church of Christ, somewhere, there's somebody who came in this morning that smells like Saturday night. Somewhere, I don't know where, but somewhere there's this very problem exists. But then when you look at Matthew chapter 24, 45 through 51, it speaks of the servants who found to be evil and what his punishment shall be for such. How that it causes him to suffer with the hypocrite. Our lesson is this. Be careful who you're hanging out with. Be careful of you not getting involved in whatever they are involved with if you're hanging out with them. So then, church, when you think about it, is it all right to drink? That's a question that many folk have asked over the years. Is it all right for me to drink? Well, it depends on how you want me to answer that. I can sugarcoat that if you want to. But if you are going to drink, you are subject to do what? Get drunk. And if you're subject to get drunk, the Bible has a prohibition right here. I just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 11. So you don't want to do something that the Bible is against, do you, church? I know I didn't hear too many answers that. Not only that, but there's another point that I want to make this morning. The truth about lust of the flesh. The truth about lust of the flesh is that the flesh is of God. That lust is not of God, but instead it is of the world. The word lust, do you know the meaning of the word lust? The meaning of the word lust is a strong desire. Lust means a strong desire. When the word flesh is added, it becomes lust of the flesh, and it means evil desires. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." The word lust can sometimes have a good meaning. It can be of a good desire. As in Philippians 1 and 23, where Paul spoke of having a strong desire. He said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." And then also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 17, and in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 15. Those are good lusts, because they show strong desire. But in the rest of the Bible, it is usually spoken of in negative terms. As Christians, we must learn that we can corrupt our own ways. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the verses number 33, "Be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners." You watch what you say, watch who you communicate, and how you communicate with them. All I'm saying is that we don't want to be numbered with the world, with the word. With the world, we must have a strong desire to stay with Jesus. When I see somebody with the wrong crowd, guess what conclusion I draw? I draw the conclusion that they must be a part of that crowd if they're with that crowd. We must be careful that lust does not consume us, lest we find ourselves in evilness. A warning has been issued in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 12. It says, "Let not sin reign in our mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Let not sin fester so long that we become immune to it. And even though as a Christian we may veer from the truth, but we're not supposed to let it overwhelm us. Now, if I took a poll this morning, and I asked all the Christians that I know of, "Have you ever veered from the truth?" Chances are most of them would probably say no. And then that's a veer that they just made right there. If you understand what I mean when I said, have you veered from the truth? I didn't say, have you committed a sin? I said, simply, have you veered from the truth? Have you veered from the truth? Look what Jesus told those folks. He said, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Sometimes when you tell folk the truth is not what they want to hear. When you tell folk the truth, they want you to do a little better job of telling the truth. Don't include me in when you tell the truth, even though I'm guilty. But include everybody except me. Include everybody else, because I know I'm right. I'm always right. I may not be right, but I'm never wrong. So when you think about it, church, when you look at this matter and you take the whole picture into consideration, we've all veered from the truth. Somebody wake up on Sunday morning and say, this is not a good day. I'm going to roll over and go back to sleep. That's veering from the truth, because the Bible, as it was brought out in Bible class, we're supposed to come to church on Sunday morning. Isn't that right? We're supposed to come to church. When I got up this morning, when you got up this morning, all that should have been on your mind was getting to church, getting to the church house. Even as you were eating breakfast, you should have been thinking, I got to hurry up and get through so I can get ready to go to church. But some folk, like I say, they veer from the truth. And then they begin to consider that not as a part of the truth. When I don't feel like going, I'm not sick. I just don't feel like going this morning. I feel pretty good, but I just don't feel like going to church this morning. I feel pretty good, but I don't think I want to see all those folk this morning. You know, sometimes they get on my nerve. Sometimes I don't like the way sister and brother so-and-so dress, and they think they know everything anyway. So I just think I won't go today. Well, that's veering from the truth. That's getting close to the edge of sin. That's right at sin. And if you carry that through, you've got a problem on your hand. The truth about false doctrine. Many times we are overwhelmed by the so-called smooth talkers, the charismatic speakers, those who change or distort the Word of God so that it sounds good to the ears. When the Word of God is changed, usually it becomes the Word of Satan, and he is not in the soul-saving business. He is in the soul-taking business. But the soul-saving business, that's the business that God is in. Therefore, let us take heed to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, around verse number 5, where it says, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Neither false teachers nor false doctrine cannot and will not save our souls. The Bible speaks again in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 15, where it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. No matter how good he looks, no matter how good he smells, no matter what his promises are, if they are not biblically based, they are false, and thus we need to be careful. This is why we need to know the history and the doctrine of our religion. We need to know something about the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is the body of Christ. So we know where it came from according to Ephesians 1 and verse 23. Christ established one church for his one body, and we have but one person in charge, and that person in charge is God himself. Our head resides in heaven, not in an office on earth somewhere. He doesn't make any new decisions about the running of the church. We were given the inspiration and the rules for the running of the church over 2,000 years ago. So this today church is not new. This has been around for a long time now. The rules were established centuries ago. And it only has one baptism. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4. Therefore we are to be buried with him by baptism into death, that is like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of our Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying that if you got baptized other than in the Church of Christ, and this is a strong statement, if you were not baptized in the Church of Christ, you were not baptized right. There's no ifs, there's no and, and there's no buts about it. If this is not the doctrine of your church, then it must be false teaching. In the text of today, Jesus is speaking to those people and He asked them that question. He made that statement to them. He said, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Some folk might throw rotten tomatoes at folk who tell them the truth sometimes. Some folk throw eggs at folks who tell them the truth because they don't want to hear the truth. Now, if I told you now, next Thursday afternoon, we're going to have a bingo session here. You'd like that. Some of you might like that because you'd get out and get to enjoy, have a little social time, as we call it, from time to time. But we don't do bingo games. We don't do date nights. Oh, no. We don't do anything like that. We don't put people together. We'll marry you if you want to get married. If everything is right with you and you want to get married, we'll connect you up that way. But I'm not introducing nobody to anybody else for them to get together. Because you ain't going to blame me if the hookup doesn't go right. If I hadn't been for that preacher, you and I never would have gotten married because I sure didn't want to marry you. And it always seemed to work out that when things happen to married couples, it always happens at 2 o'clock in the morning and you wake the preacher up saying, can you come over? But I tell you something, church, when you're dealing with a religion, when you're dealing with false religion and false doctrine, you're going to find some things out there in the world. So many today hear the truth and yet they still don't want to believe the truth. Some of us even that must think that the preachers are just making stuff up to say to you. The preacher doesn't make it up. If he's not getting it from God's Word, then you got a problem. But if he's getting it from God's Word, he didn't make it up. It was here before he got here. Sometimes we blame it on those preachers who sugarcoat the Word. Because they don't want to offend anyone with the Word of God. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible tells me, preach the Word. Preach the Word, not somebody's thought. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So what are you saying? I'm saying preach God's Word. And if you get on somebody's nerve when you preach God's Word, that's all right. That's okay. Preach God's Word, not something else. Preach the doctrine or the Word of God. It stings sometimes, so be it. It hurts sometimes, so be it. So as long as you're preaching out of love and patience, it's all right. See, I wouldn't stand up here and preach to you one of those hellfire and brimstone sermons and then tell you all of you are going to hell. I simply preach what the Word says. I simply say that if the Word of God won't convict you, then certainly Brother Carter can't convict you. I can only preach what's in God's Word. I can only bring it out, I should say. I can preach from it after bringing it out. But you must believe it. You remember what Jesus told those folks. I'm standing here and I tell you the truth, but you still don't want to believe me. Examine your doctrine. Examine your belief. If they're not the biblical truth, they are wrong. Simply wrong. I've told you this before and I'm going to tell you again. I used to hear when I was growing up as a little child, my grandmother used to tell me stories all the time. She used to read me Bible stories. But my grandmom wasn't in the Church of Christ. She was not a Church of Christ member. She had me down in them woods back in the country down there in Mississippi, sitting by the fireplace, reading me all kinds of stories out of the Bible. But she was not a member of the Church of Christ. Even though I loved my grandma, even though she meant the world to me, I was young enough that I was impressionable enough, I should say young and impressionable enough, that I would believe whatever I heard at that point. But when I got older, and I got to be able to learn and decipher things for myself, I understood better. And when you understand better, you ought to learn to do better. Isn't that right? When you learn better, and that's what Jesus' point was right there. Look at verse number 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. But then because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Because the preacher tells you the truth, you get mad at him. Because he tells you the truth. If you are not hearing from God's Bible, if the sermon is not biblically based, then it's not the truth in the Word of God. Oh yeah, I can preach a sermon to you sometimes that just simply for your information, but I've got to have some Bible truth in it somewhere. Otherwise, I'm not preaching doctrine of the Word of God. And like some folk like to hear simple, what they call simple messages. Simple message means you didn't touch me at all. Simple message meaning that I didn't even get close to your neighborhood. Sometimes I have to fly over your neighborhood and stop at your house. And then you'll understand what I'm saying. If I don't stop at your house, sometimes you just don't get it. So when I get up here and I have to stop by your house, it's not because you necessarily invited me to your house, but I want to make sure that you get it. So if I tell you you can't be out there being drunk, you got to understand if you are out there being drunk, I stopped by your house this morning. You can't be out there lusting in the flesh. I know men will be men. I understand that's the old saying. But if you are a man, you're supposed to be, and you want to be a man of God, you got to hear the Word of God. You've got to believe the Word of God. You've got to understand the Word of God. Once again, Jesus said, because I tell you the truth, you didn't want to hear it. You believe me not. If we are not hearing Jesus speak to us through His Word, then we are in the wrong church. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, and you believe me not. So I tell you the truth this morning, church. If you don't want to hear it, then you just don't want to hear it. But I tell you the truth, Jesus said, and you believe me not. I tell you the truth and you believe me not. I tell you the truth. And I suggest that anyone who, when he hears the truth, when he hears the preacher, if you don't do it in church, go home and investigate it. Sit down and open your Bible. See, sometimes the preacher will make a Bible student out of you. Because the preacher will make you start wondering, did the Bible really say that? Sometimes the preacher will make you open a Bible, a book that you haven't opened in years. And that's the Bible. A Bible, as I always say, a Bible laying out on your coffee table means nothing if it's never opened. A Bible that's not used is a Bible that's no good to you unless you open it up. How are you going to know what the Word of God says if you don't open the Bible up? I know what you'll do. You'll call the elder, you'll call the teacher, or you'll call the preacher. What did the Bible say about such and such? Well, look it up. And then call me back once you get a reading of it, and then I'll explain it to you. But yeah, there are folk who don't want to hear the truth. There are folk that say, well, I'm not going to that church no more. I'm not going there no more because I think he was talking to me. Well, no preacher that I know of sits down during his course of his work week, during the course of preparing his sermon, no preacher that I know of dictates a sermon just for you. Sometimes the preacher dictates a sermon more for himself than he does for anyone else. Because, see, the preacher needs to hear the message too. So he dictates to himself. And if it just happens to hit you, then that's a whole different subject. But I tell you the truth this morning. I've told you the truth this morning. I told you from the Word of God. I told you about the Word of God. I've told you some of what Jesus said in the Word of God. Now, if you don't want to believe it, like Jesus said, I tell you the truth and you believe not. But I'm going to tell you something as I bring this message to a close, because my time is running out, but I got a couple more minutes. One day you're going to have to face that same Jesus that you're rejecting now. You're going to have to face him at the judgment seat. And that's not going to be an easy task, because you're going to be questioned. You're going to be asked about things, why you did this and why you said that. And like I always like to tell you, don't look for me. Never ask where's the preacher? Because the preacher is going to be somewhere trying to get himself together. But the preacher has to listen for his name too. And so when you go into the Word of God, you prayerfully go into God, you prayerfully go into it, and you ask God to open the eyes of your mind that you might see what's in His Word. You ask Him to show you what is it that you want me to know, O Lord. And it's going to be, the answer is going to be, I want you to know the truth. And when you open up that Bible, you'll find nothing but the truth. Now, did someone in the Bible lie? Yes, Satan lied right away in the Bible. He lied in the early chapters of Genesis right there, around chapter 2 or chapter 3. He lied. So everything that you read in God's Word is not what God said, but it's what man or some evil entity said. The devil, and namely. So if you want to be right with God, if you want to get right with God, now is the time to prepare your life to get it right with God. How do I do that, preacher? Well, you come to the Lord's body. You come to the Lord's house. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And if you've done that already, you've walked that long stretch from the back door down to the front pew, but somewhere during that walk, that course of that walk, you went astray. If you went astray, you need to ask God to forgive you, ask the church to pray for you, and come back where you belong, into the household of faith. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.